Okay, it is going to be a short sermon this morning, but I hope, I expect. You can never tell. Margaret says, sometimes I get in the zone and there's just no stopping me. That's true. So, anyway, we'll just see how we go. Good Friday is... You're balancing a lot of paradoxes on Good Friday, and we've sort of intimated some of them. You know, we started with one of the happiest songs you can think of. What was it? Look to the Sun? And then followed it up with a very somber song. And Good Friday, in many ways, is like that. Jesus dies on the cross, and you think, oh, man, this is like, you know, to be in that situation back then. For the disciples, it must have felt like the end of the world. And not only like the end of the world, like everything that they thought that God was going to do through Jesus had come to an end. And, you know, what would you do? How would you feel? Like just, not just the, you know, the death, the grief that comes from the death of a friend, a close friend, but the death of all your expectations and dreams of what the future might hold. Of course, we know that that's not the end of the story, but they didn't. And what we know that they didn't too is that Jesus' death on the cross brought about a huge change in the way that God deals with people. So the significance, everything about the event of the crucifixion was significant, and a lot of the significance is seen in the fact that if you read the Old Testament carefully, a lot of it was prophesied beforehand. I talked about that last Sunday, Palm Sunday, about the fact that Zechariah basically described Palm Sunday before Palm Sunday happened. And you find right through the Old Testament places like Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 55 and Isaiah, a few other bits in Isaiah, that God planted the seeds right back in Genesis, well, when he created the world, before he created the world. It was all pre-programmed, pre-planned. God, it was like God's making the world and as he's, well, the universe, putting it all together and slotting the stars in across the sky. And he's thinking, you know, we're going to make human beings in a couple of days, and we know the plan's going to fall apart. They're just going to get tempted and fall into sin. But here's the plan. The long-term plan is that the Son of God, the divine Son, part of the Trinity, will become a human being and will pay the price for their sin. And he's got a plan right from the beginning. If you don't believe me, read Revelation, where it talks about the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. So, and all the Old Testament, all the Old Testament feasts and celebrations lock into this, telling the story of Jesus who is to come. So Jesus is crucified at Passover time. No coincidence about that at all. He couldn't have been crucified the week before on Palm Sunday. I mean, he could in theory. The Romans, I talked again last week about how you know, this huge street theatre that was going on. The Romans had specifically banned that sort of procession from taking place because everybody knew that's the way the Messiah was going to come. So it wouldn't have taken more than a few minutes for the Romans to have been alerted and for the guards to have been summoned and Jesus to be dragged away and crucified a week before. But he couldn't, because he had to wait for Passover. What was the significance of Passover? That's when every Jewish family took a lamb and killed it and offered it to God, and the blood of that lamb took away their sins. It averted days of Moses, the original Exodus. It averted the death, the angel of death that was going to come and destroy the firstborn son in every household. And so Jesus is sacrificed at the exact time. He died at the exact time that the priests in the temple, not far away, were making the sacrifice, killing the lambs for Passover. Totally unaware of the fact that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world was being himself sacrificed on the cross. All of this stuff just comes together in this Passover sacrifice. So when Jesus dies on the cross, it's not an accident. The timing is exactly right. It's not, that he ran out of luck with the authorities. It was all pre-planned. It was all part of God's plan of laying down his own life to wash away our sins. Oops. So, here's the thing. We need a saviour. We need salvation. We were lost in our sins and couldn't find our way to God. We could never pay the price for our sins ourselves because the debt was too high. And the way I like to think of it is this. God demanded of us a perfect life. And, you know, by the time you get to 2 years old, you're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. You've already accumulated this debt. So if you have a debt, so to speak, that you can't pay off, like every sin just adds to that debt, but you've got no way of paying it off, and it accumulates. It's almost like, you know, God could have said, well, you know, I'll let you off if you jump to the moon. Well, we can't do it, and we can't pay off that debt of sin, the offences that we made against God. We can't pay that off because the standard was zero sin, zero rebellion against God. And so we needed salvation. And Jesus' death on the cross was that saviour. What we couldn't do ourselves, Jesus did for us on the cross. That's why we call it Good Friday, apart from the linguistics of the term. Good Friday, it's so good. It's so bad that Jesus died. It's so good that he died. My favourite news service in the entire world is the Babylon Bee. And it's a Christian satirical website. And they lament the fact that over the last, I think, 10 years, 82 of what they thought were completely ridiculous news articles have actually come true. And so anyway, they put out a thing this morning. All the ways you can earn your salvation. And the rest of the page is blank. And then at the bottom it says, the only thing you contribute to your salvation is the sin that made it necessary. And I thought, that's a pretty good phrase. That's all I do. I mean, yeah. You know, when I became a Christian, it wasn't because I'd worked out. Logically, it was true. I had a revelation. I had a vision of Jesus. I wouldn't have ever become a Christian, except, you know, some people are smarter than me. They can work it out. I couldn't. I needed a good slap across the face. Jesus jumping out. Boo, here I am right in front of me. Because I'm so thick. And at the time, I had no intention of being a Christian. I had no intention of getting saved. Saw no need for it. Till after the event. Oh, yeah. I am a sinner. We all need salvation. We all need a saviour. We all need Jesus to pay the price for our sins because we can't do it ourselves. And so that leaves us with a choice. We can go our own way, as the Isuzu people repeatedly tell us. Which, I mean, that's the default position. That's what we do all the time. We go our own way. I want that. I'll have that. I want that. I'll have that. He annoyed me, so I'll whack him. But the other way is the way of the second chance. The way that Jesus opened up for us. He reset He reset the balance at zero, and that's pretty good. And he keeps on going, keeps on resetting. Every time we turn back to him, it's like you get a second chance. I'm trying to think of this clever expression about second chances, but I know it, but it's not forming properly in my head. Anyway, something like, you know, he always gives you a second chance, but you're always on the first, or something like that, anyway. Because, you know, he's the record's wiped out. Have another go. Have a do-over, as they say. You get to do it again. But the choice is ours. The only bit that we offer to this whole process is we say yes to God. We say yes to Jesus. We say yes, I'm the guy with my hand out waiting to be rescued. And again, that's a choice that all of us can make. And you might have said no to God in the past. Say yes to him today. He's always waiting, always ready for us to say yes. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been a bit away from God for a while. Maybe you hang around at church, but you've never made that decision. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I just encourage you to do that today. Make this Good Friday the best ever Friday. Father, we just want to thank you for your grace. That song that we sang earlier talks about grace so outrageous. Lord, it's true. You take our messed up lives, and you take our rebelliousness and our independence and our desire to do it out of our own strength, and you take all of the mess that we've made of our lives, and you pour your grace upon it, and you start reconstructing us the way we were meant to be. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that the way of discipleship is the way of the cross. As we learn to follow Jesus to the cross, we suddenly, along the way, discover that we've got our own cross to carry too. And we have to die to ourselves just as much as Jesus had to die to us, for us. So Lord, help us, I pray. And help us to walk this way of the cross each and every day. To walk in a way that honours Jesus each and every day. To walk in a way that demonstrates the victory that you have won over death and sin. And Lord, we can't do that ourselves, so we ask you to do it through us and for us and in us, that we could emerge at the end of our lives fully victorious and enter into eternity in the clean garments supplied by Christ. Amen.